this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Hi, and welcome to CyberStation USA Radio Network. And you're listening to the Mike Siegel Show. And I bet you're wondering, this doesn't sound an awful lot like Mike Siegel, otherwise known as the People's Advocate. No, my name is Elizabeth Letchworth. I'm going to be hosting Mike's show this Friday. He's traveling around the country doing the Lord's work, making speeches, so he asked me to sit in this 3 to 4 time frame. So if you'd like to follow Mike on Facebook, let me tell you, it's facebook.com/Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, on air. Lots of neat things there. And Mike will be back next week. In the meantime, again, my name is Elizabeth Letchworth, and you are listening to The Mike Siegel Show. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about Congress and what Congress did or really didn't do for you this week. They are finally out. They've gone out for the session right before the elections. They had lots to do during this brief session in September, but you know what? They did basically nothing. Zip, zero. It was pretty pitiful. How did they get so off track? How did they end up just not doing anything, being a complete failure? You know, we've talked on Mike's show, and if you listen to Capitol Hill Insight at the 7 p.m. slot Mondays and Fridays on CyberStation USA, you'll get a little more of this also. Capitol Hill Insight talks about Congress, and the Monday show, typically we talk about what they're going to do for the week, and then the Friday show, typically we wrap up the week, and we've talked about on that show, how did Congress get so off track? How in the world did they get just so out of whack? They didn't do a budget this year for the first time in the history of the United States Congress having budgets. They failed to do one. That's pretty pitiful. What if your business or your household just said, screw it, excuse me, I know this is a family hour, but just kind of screw it. We're not going to do a budget. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. Have no idea if we're exceeding the limits of last year. Have no idea. We don't have a budget. We have no budget to follow. We're just going to chug along. Doesn't that sound a little irresponsible to you? Well, that's what our Congress did this year, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't do a budget. Not a single attempt on the floor of the House or on the floor of the Senate to do a budget. They also didn't do any of the spending bills. For those of you that do listen to Capitol Hill Insight on CyberStation USA Radio Network, we talk about the appropriations process, the 12 spending bills. Those are, if you marry all the 12 bills together, you would get the full funding of the federal government. Typically, Congresses spend, I'm not kidding you, most of spring and most of all summer slugging through these appropriations bills or spending bills. And as I said, if you married all 12 together, you get the full funding of the federal government. Like Interior and Environment, those two agencies are put together in one bill. The Congress, the democratically controlled Congress, Speaker Pelosi and Harry Reid, decided we're not going to do any of them. Not a single one. That's another precedent that this Congress set. They didn't have hearings, have markups. They didn't call the witnesses of the agencies. They didn't hear from anybody in the agency. How's your agency going? How's it running? You need more money? Do you need less money? What part is not working? They didn't do any of that. They didn't have any of the debate on the floor so that members of Congress could offer amendments. None of that. They punted on all of that responsibility. They also punted on, this is sort of the third travesty of this Congress failing to do what they need to do. They punted on doing the defense authorization bill. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a travesty in my view. The defense authorization bill authorizes thousands of programs and policy. Something as simple as how short does your hair have to be when you join the armed forces to how many tanks are we going to have? How many F-16 fighter jets is the Defense Department going to have? Kevlar vests. That's kind of a big thing. We're in two wars. We're in Pakistan and Iraq. And members of Congress just blow it off. We don't need to do the defense authorization bill. So what did they do this year? They spent all of their time, all of their energy, all of their legislative capital, if you want to call it, chits, whatever you want to call it. They spent it on doing health care. They spent it on doing cap and trade. They spent it on doing the financial reform bill. So that by the time it came down to doing what Congress is supposed to do, what their actual responsibilities are year after year after year, they were basically spent. They were done. They'd had it. Their constituents were so mad at them they couldn't see straight. They were afraid to cross their constituents. They were afraid to take up a budget resolution because the budget resolution touches everything. It touches every debate, just like a budget with your household. It would touch everything, your food consumption. How much should you spend on food? What do you spend on gas? How many vacations are you going to go on? What kind of clothing are you going to buy? Heaven forbid, what kind of clothing is your daughter going to wear? What kind of clothing is your son going to wear? And so on and so on and so on. So if you think about what a budget would contain for Congress, it could have every imaginable subject matter. They didn't want to come anywhere near that, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about a bunch of wimps. They didn't want to come anywhere near any of those subject matters because it might upset you and me, their constituents. Because they had already upset us by doing health care. By passing health care, even though we had said, we'd screamed, we'd hollered, we didn't want health care reform, not to the level that they had, not to the size. They did it anyway. So basically, they had spent their political capital on these agenda items by the Obama administration. So when it came down to doing what they are supposed to do, what their responsibility is as members of Congress every year, they just failed. They just laid down on the job. They punted. Absolutely pretty, pretty pitiful. Now, when we talk about the financial reform bill, one of those big bills that they did, one of the three that they did, the financial reform bill, I'm sure you've read articles after articles. That bill is huge. There are over 300 regulations yet to be written where a regulator can decide what the policy is going to be like, because basically Congress gave them a blank check. Basically, Congress wrote this bill, wrote this huge overhaul, or not overhaul, overreach into almost every financial transaction you and I might have, and then basically told the administration, you figure out how to do this. This 300-plus regulation bill will reach into every financial transaction just about that we have. How many of you out there have a PayPal account? Do you dabble ever so often with eBay? Somebody's going to be looking at your PayPal account, so be careful what you buy on eBay. Isn't that pitiful? How many of you have an account with your florist, maybe? Or how about the orthodontist that you're paying for your son or daughter's braces on time, month by month? That financial account can be peeked at by this new financial reform bill. And you know what else? Congress negotiated that bill with the White House. They negotiated this big, huge new bureau that's going to be created. It's called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau within the financial reform bill. When they negotiated that with the president, the House and the Senate sat down with the president's folks, Rahm Emanuel for one. When they negotiated that, they said, okay, the head of this new bureau, this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, we want to make sure he or she is confirmed by the Senate, just like a cabinet level. We want to see his or her tax returns. What was the former job he or she had? Does she or he have a conflict of interest? Let's do a background check on them. Let's find out if they did their tax returns. Let's find out if they have a conflict of interest with a former job. Maybe they had a position in some big financial firm that this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau might alter or might affect. Let's do all of that through the normal Senate confirmation process. And the president said, that sounds good to me, that's fair, I'll sign on to that. My new appointee for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, if you give me this bill, if you pass it into through your Congress and send it to me and I sign it into law, that new person will go through the confirmation process. Handshake, deal made, and of course the House and the Senate passed it, and the president signed it in July. Guess what the president did a couple of weeks ago? Basically spit in the eye of members of the House and the Senate, especially the negotiators, the big negotiators. That would be Barney Frank, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Chris Dodd, a Democrat from Connecticut. Both of them were big proponents in this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau needs to be confirmed by the Senate. Well, the president shook hands on that. Rahm Emanuel said, absolutely, makes perfect sense to me. Put it in the bill. We sign off on it. Guess what the president did a couple of weeks ago? Created a new position that isn't confirmed by the United States Senate and put Elizabeth Warren head of that position. And basically, she is now going to be head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but he bypassed the Senate confirmation process. Let me tell you, you have Democrats in Congress that are so mad at the White House for that, they could spit nails. And you wonder why Congress couldn't finish what it needed to get done. The negotiations between the House, the Senate, and the White House have basically broken down to the point where it is so strained. After the House and the Senate ultimately passed the health care bill this past spring, those members of Congress up for re-election, and remember, all 435 House members are up every 2 years, and a third of the Senate are up. They went screaming to the House and the Senate leaders, we can't keep going at odds with our constituents. We can't keep doing this. So we don't want you bringing up a budget, because we don't want to have any of those votes that could get us at odds. Don't bring up any of the appropriations bills. I don't want to have to vote on don't ask, don't tell, a policy within the Defense Department. Remember, that's the policy that allows gays in the military to serve. They just, nobody asks them, and they don't tell. Well, the Obama administration is considering and would like to repeal it, so there could be a vote on that if they brought up the defense appropriations bill. So don't bring that up. Don't bring up any of the appropriations bills. Don't bring up the interior appropriations bill, because I don't want to vote on oil spill legislation. I don't want that whole BP thing coming back and having me be responsible for it. Remember, I'm a member of Congress, and I'm pretty much spineless right now. So that's why they didn't do a budget. That's why they didn't do any of the appropriations bills. And that's why they didn't do the defense authorization bill. Absolute, utter failure. Absolutely pitiful. So what did Congress do this week? They cobbled together what's called a continuing resolution. Basically, it takes all of those 12 spending bills, takes a new figure, extends those spending until December 3rd, cobbled it together, passed it, and sent it to the president, and the president signed it yesterday, which was the end of the fiscal year. Always in the nick of time. Congress, especially this Congress, always seems to take everything down to the last second, the last minute. Everything is an emergency. Stop the presses. We've got to do this right now. It is an emergency. We don't have time for debate. We don't have time for adequate hearings. It's an emergency. We're at our wit's end. We're at the very end of our rope. We've got to take this up right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's no way to legislate. That is no way to legislate. It's irresponsible, but that's what this Congress has basically been doing all year long. Remember Rahm Emanuel's never let a good crisis go to waste? Well, Congress has sort of signed on to that logic, and that's the way they have been legislating all year long. Actually, all these last 2 years. It's a mess, and the lame duck promises to be just as much of a mess, if not messier. You're listening to The Mike Siegel Show. My name is Elizabeth Letchworth. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a second. Stay tuned.
You have to have a lot of patience if you're going to do something really hard.
We're onto something here.
Now it's going to pay off for us.
Produce definitely a technology generation.
This is affecting all of us.
I love the possibilities of a digital life.
No, it's just going to snuck up on us.
Allowing us to evolve into better people.
It's affecting all of us.
To rewrite the rules of interaction between human beings.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question, but there's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Catch us weekdays at 6 p.m. on CyberStationUSA.com.
Hi, folks. Mike Siegel here, and you know what? I want to share with you one of the great locations that you will find in the city of Boston. It is a great city and a fabulous location right in the heart of the city, the Weston Copley Place Hotel in Boston. It's a wonderful hotel. It's a stroll away from shopping at the world-class Copley Place Shopping Center, as well as the Prudential Center. You're close to Newbury Street, very European kind of street. You can stroll down Newbury Street and enjoy that right nearby. It's near the South End, near the Charles River, just a wonderful location right across from Harvard and MIT. The guest rooms and suites are done up in beige and mahogany furnishings. They're spacious and well-equipped with all the comforts. Wonderful beds. You'll sleep like you've never slept before. Two popular restaurants right on the property with a variety of cuisines. There's a gym in the hotel with an indoor pool. There's also a business center for many of you who travel for business. I know many of you do that, and the Weston Copley Place is the one for you. Check out the Weston guest office rooms that are equipped with amenities specifically for business travelers. Very important point. You have internet access. You have safe deposit, non-smoking rooms, a bar in the room, computer facilities, laundry service. They allow pets, disabled access. There's a sauna, the fitness club, as I mentioned, parking, 24-hour room service, and wonderful, wonderful facilities. Give them a call. Make your reservation at the Weston Copley Place in Boston, 617-262-9600, 617-262-9600. You'll be glad you did.
For the looks you wear. So for that good friends feeling, let's go down to Bob's, everyone's favorite store.
Let's go down to Bob's.
The first online station to be syndicated on the terrestrial radio.
Send the message immediately.
Steal off the bridge.
Yes, sir.
This is madness.
My lord, is that
gun? I will make it legal.
CyberStationUSA.com.
We are in complete control on it now.
Good. I will see to it that things stay as they are.
Hi, and welcome back to CyberStation USA Radio Network and the Mike Siegel Show, only this is not Mike Siegel. It's Elizabeth Letchworth, and we are talking about Congress. We're talking about what they did this past week, because they are now out. They're in recess. They're done until November 15th, until after the elections, until after you and I have voted. We've either kicked them out or sent them back to Washington, D.C. But basically what they did this week was to cobble together enough votes, barely, but enough votes to pass what's called a continuing resolution, which continues the funding of the federal government, which ran out yesterday. It continues it, through December 3rd. Why did they need a continuing resolution? What's that all about? Well, because they basically punted on their second biggest job, which is to fund the federal government. It's actually the job that is described that they should be doing in our Constitution. Remember that document? Well, they apparently don't remember it, because this is the first year they broke records. First year, absolutely, they broke every kind of record you can think of, because they didn't do a single appropriations bill. They didn't do a single bill that deals with spending of our federal government. There's 12 of them. Those 12 bills all married together make our full federal government spending. They didn't do any of them. So when it got close to the end of the fiscal year, which was yesterday, there was this panic and there was this, oh my gosh, we haven't done any of these. What are we going to do? You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Remember, who said that? Don't you remember that? This panic. Ah! You know, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We're in a crisis. The federal government's about to shut down. So let's quickly cobble together a continuing resolution so we can patchwork, we can patch together federal funding so that it, our government doesn't shut down. The Republicans in Congress are really getting sick of this crisis management. That's what it's called, crisis management. Because the Democrats in Congress didn't want to deal with any of these appropriations bills, not a single one, because they all have sexy issues attached to them. They all have issues that would put members of Congress potentially at odds with their constituents, and they've already been at odds with the constituents, you and me, for way too long. Ever since health care. Ever since they jammed health care down our throat, cap and trade down our throat. Thank goodness the Senate never passed it, but it did pass the House. And this financial reform bill jammed down our throat. That's the one where the president promised when he created this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to have the head of that go through the confirmation process. Wrong. Nope. Lied about that promise. You know what? I'm tired of Washington talking about lies as if they're spins. In my world, in my Dairy Queen bowling alley world, spinning is lying. So if you listen to Capitol Hill Insight, you're going to hear those words. You're going to hear things called lies instead of Washington was spinning today. No, they were lying. That's what I call it. That's what it is. That's what it is in Middle America. It's classified as a lie. So when the president lied and said that he would have his new head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau go through the Senate confirmation process and then created a position for her, Elizabeth Warren is her name, so that she didn't have to, that was a lie. So you've got members of Congress scared to death of their constituents, now angry as can be at the White House for putting them in this position, and then negotiating deals like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau head would get confirmed and then he does an end round. So you've got Congress so at odds with the White House. And of course, the Republicans in Congress are at odds with the Democrats in Congress. Congress is broken. It's been broken. But this last year or two, it's more than broken. It is so off track. It's not even funny. So Congress cobbled together in an emergency situation, in a panic situation, in an Rahm Emanuel, don't let a good crisis go to waste situation, cobbled together a continuing resolution. Both the House and the Senate did it late Wednesday. They went out of session, and they're done until November 15th. You know what they didn't do before they went out? And the American people, I believe, really wanted them to do something on the tax cuts. The Bush tax cuts, as they're called, even though Democrats voted for them in 2001 and 2003. Why don't we call them the Feinstein tax cuts? Because she voted for them. The Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. Why aren't they called the Feinstein tax cuts? Or the Blanche Lincoln tax cuts? Because she voted for them. Blanche Lincoln is a Democrat running in Arkansas this year. But whatever, they're called the Bush tax cuts. And most Americans that have been polled in these various polls from Rasmussen to Fox to, I saw a Pew poll the other day, they wanted members of Congress to vote on the tax cuts. What happened a couple of weeks ago was this, though. President Obama had one of these picture moments, had one of these optical moments, had one of these Rose Garden photo ops, where he drew a line in the sand and basically said, we need to extend the Bush tax cuts, but they only need to be extended to the middle class. Don't extend the upper tax cuts. Well, that line in the sand was perfect for the Republicans in Congress because they had economist after economist after economist. They had small business owner after small business owner after small business owner. They had former Small Business Administration heads saying, you know who those upper income people are? They're you and me. They are 750,000 small business owners. I would venture to guess the Dairy Queen in your town, the owner of the Dairy Queen's probably a husband and wife. Maybe it's a couple of brothers. Maybe it's a couple of sisters. It probably makes more than $250,000 a year. So, taxes on that small business, that Dairy Queen, would go up. Because remember, the president had this photo op in the Rose Garden, had all the TV and media there, saying, all I want the Congress to do is to extend the middle class tax cuts, not the ones for the rich. The problem is, his definition of rich and the economy's definition of rich are not the same. The Dairy Queen guy or gal is a rich person in his mind. The bowling alley guy or gal, maybe it's owned by a small business family, more than likely falls into the tax cuts for the rich. So the president has this line in the sand that he draws a week or two ago, has this photo op, has this press conference in the Rose Garden, and that sends Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid scrambling. Well, I guess he wants us to try to have a vote on the middle class tax cuts. And that started the media doing all the polls. What do you and I want to see? Which tax cuts do you and I want to see extended? And you know what? Overwhelmingly, the answer was, we want them all extended. We don't want any increases in taxes. We're in the biggest mess economy-wise that we've been in maybe the history of our country, at least comparing it to the Great Depression. Why in the world would any sane person raise taxes on anybody in the middle of what is pretty much a depression? So because the president initiated this ultimatum, this line in the sand, people started polling the average American, and you know what the answer back was? We want them all extended. We don't want anybody's taxes raised right now. I heard a good line the other day. Higher taxes or hire me? You know what? I think the American people are going to pick hire me or hire you or hire my neighbor, my brother, my sister, not higher taxes. So the president, once again, sticks Congress in the middle, has this photo op, has this ultimatum. All the polls start flying around. What do you want? And you know what? Members of Congress started coming back to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, the two leaders of Congress, saying, I won't support a vote on just the middle class tax cut extensions. 30-some members of the House signed a letter, sent it to the Speaker saying, I won't vote for that. Pretty soon that 30-some ended up high 30s. Next thing you know, it's 39. Next thing you know, it's in the 40s saying, I'm not going to support it. So you know what the Speaker did in another just spineless move? You know what she did this week? Nothing. Not a thing. Did not even have a vote on the middle class tax cuts because she was afraid she would lose. And she was afraid what would win would be extending the tax cuts for everybody. And why is that so bad? According to economists, that would help our economy. It would jumpstart our economy. But she couldn't lose. She couldn't lose face. So she basically said, we're not going to have the vote. Just like she basically said, we're not going to adopt a budget. Just like she basically said, we're not going to do any of the appropriations bills. And Harry Reid followed right along. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, that's pitiful. That's inexcusable. I don't know how anybody can excuse that. I don't know how anybody can look at their member of Congress that helped this process grind to a halt and say that was logical or smart or responsible, because it was not. So look at your member of Congress when you go to vote in the next couple of weeks. Did he or she help this process along? Or did they just help stand in the way of doing what is responsible? So Congress left this week passing a continuing resolution funding the government till December 3rd, but no vote on the tax increases or tax cuts. What wimps, what spineless wimps we have in Congress right now. Well, you know, we can do something about that. Come November, we can send them a big, big message. And I hope we all will send them a message. Go vote, regardless of how you vote. Don't forget to vote. I'm going to take another quick break. You're listening to The Mike Siegel Show. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
We're all in the same house, but we're also in other worlds.
This was a completely new way of looking at the world in which we live.
I enjoy working with people.
We're moving to a reality of information overload.
No, it just kind of snuck up on us.
The people must be told the gravity of a situation and what is required.
Your personal recording unit.
I suppose if this is a code, it's a very fine one.
The future of radio.
NC Comet.
Cyberstation USA.com.
Capitol Hill Insights. Twice weekly on CyberStation USA. My name is Elizabeth Letchworth. GreatGov is a free website that lets you grade any member of Congress. We have 100 email accounts for all 100 senators and 435 for the 435 members of the House. So your voice does get heard. Capitol Hill Insights, brought to you by GradeGov.com, twice weekly on CyberStation USA. Thanks so much and enjoy the shows.
Broadcasting from a TV studio located somewhere in North America.
That's great. Let's do it.
My name is John Ecker. I'll be your host.
It's a joke, right?
No, this is not a joke.
What's going on?
Dark Matters Radio, exclusively on CyberStation USA.
It's just awesome to hear you guys back on the air.
We're coming to you live.
The moon is 10 billion years old.
Billy.
We never went to the moon.
No possibly did we ever go to the moon.
Very interesting.
Try again.
Don't you think that the Soviets would have used it?
This Cold War is a hoax. It didn't happen. We're allied with the
Russians. That's pretty damn funny because I got two holes in me from a Kalashnikov rifle.
It was Richard Faraday co-hosting with the legendary Don Ecker on Dark Matters Radio, exclusively from CyberStation USA. If you can't credibly present your case, we don't want to hear from you. Do you want to hear it right now?
Well, yeah.
Step up to the plate and see if you have what it takes to go all nine innings.
Nine innings with your computer.
Tune in to CyberStation USA Fridays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to get the scoop with your boys TG and Mitch. This fast-paced, hard-hitting show is changing the face of sports radio one week at a time. So grab your jock, lace up the cleats, and step into the batter's box. Nine innings with TG and Mitch only on CyberStation USA.
I don't know how you guys live with yourselves.
One day at a time.
Hi, everybody. This is Tony from the E-Zone, and we have a new time. Thursdays at noon, Eastern Standard Time. Come by and say hi with your lunchtime lunatic. Check us out, and you'll be saying more E-Zone.
And CyberStation USA.
Well, over half my life exists in the digital world.
I'm connected to my BlackBerry at all times. Can you imagine not having it?
This is the future of radio.
I use my phone. I go on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook.
That's my digital life.
CyberStationUSA.com. Hi, and thanks for staying through the break, and welcome back to the Mike Siegel Show. We're talking about what Congress did or what they didn't do this final week that they went out right before the November elections. They didn't do very much at all, ladies and gentlemen. We were talking about it just a few minutes ago. They didn't even have a vote on the tax increases or the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, whatever you want to call them. The reason they didn't is because the speaker learned, Nancy Pelosi learned from you and I, because we spoke up, that her middle class tax cut provisions, the ones that the president said should be the only ones extended, that would have failed. That would have failed, and then egg would have been on the president's face, egg would have been on the speaker's face, egg would have been on Harry Reid's face. Well, you know what? I'm sorry egg would have been on their face, but that's what the American people wanted. The American people want these tax cuts extended because they know it's good for the economy. They're the ones living in this awful, lethargic, anemic economy. They're the ones running these small businesses on a shoestring right now, limping along. And they're the ones that know that if you give more certainty in the economy, more certainty to the guys and gals that have the payrolls, then they're more likely to calm down. They're more likely to maybe start investing. They're more likely to maybe start expanding, maybe just ever so slightly. But right now they have no idea. And what the lack of having that vote right before they went out this last week, what failing to have that vote has done is only extended this uncertainty. it's only extended this anxiety with the small business owners. Now I don't know what to do even more. Now I'm a small business owner. I don't know. Are they going to extend the tax increases when they come back in November? I can tell you this, between now and November, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to hire that new person. Maybe I was going to hire a couple of new people. Maybe I was going to try that new expansion I was thinking about, or maybe launch that new product. I'm not going to do it now because I have no idea what my tax situation is going to be. Thanks to Congress, who did nothing during this September session. They were out all of August. We know that. They come back in September, come back in the second week in September, and all the hopes were they would have some votes on some of these tax bills, maybe even extend some of the Bush tax cuts. They didn't even have a vote on it. They didn't even have a vote on it. So that leaves the economy with one big giant question mark once again. I don't know about you listeners, but this is not what I would call leadership in Washington. It's just utter failure of Washington. I forgot to mention during the first segment, and actually the second segment, you are listening to Elizabeth Letchworth, and I host a show on CyberStation USA Radio Network called Capitol Hill Insight. It airs Mondays and Fridays at 7 p.m. on CyberStation, and it is also sponsored by GradeGov.com. GradeGov is a free website, and it lets you grade any member of Congress and follow up your grade with a letter explaining your grade. And of course, when I talk about grades, I mean A, B, C, D, or F, just like we got in school. It's a neat site. It's free, as I said. It always will be free. And after you grade the member of Congress you want to grade, maybe it's your member of Congress, maybe it's Pelosi you want to grade. If it's Pelosi and you don't live in her district, your grade will be averaged into her national grade. If she is your member of Congress, then your grade will be averaged into her district grade. And the averages are just like what we got in school. It grade averages just like your grade average used to. Once you've cast the grade, the site will ask you, do you want to follow that up with a letter? It's real easy. The site auto-generates the letter all the way up to, Dear Congressman Blank, I gave you a, let's say, C today. And then you finish because of whatever. Remember to be respectful. Check your spelling. Click send and you have just graded and written a letter to a member of Congress. I will also tell you this, that GradeGov does get through to the members of Congress because it doesn't use that really lame, pitiful email system that the Senate and the House created. I'm sure you all have been on many of these sites that let you write a letter to a member of Congress. And you probably end up, when you start in one of those systems, you're in boxes where you have to type your name in a box and then your zip code in a box. All of those systems were created by the Senate and the House. They were created by the Sergeant of Arms in the Senate and the House Rules Committee and the House of Representatives. And you know what? They're just nothing but a computer system. All that does is send a report to the member of Congress weekly. I don't know if it's weekly, daily. I guess you could opt for either one. And the member of Congress gets a report saying you got 6 letters on health care today, or you got 4 letters on spending or whatever. Nobody ever sees your letter. I promise you this, GradeGov does go to 535 personal email accounts in all 535 members of Congress's office. We work very hard to keep those email accounts current. When staffers leave, we replace it with the new person. So your grade and your letter ends up in somebody's inbox sitting in Washington, D.C., sitting in a member of Congress's office. So remember that. You can grade Congress. Because I tell you what, this week, Congress would have gotten an F out of me, and I think probably an F out of a lot of you. They did not have the vote on the Bush tax cuts. They punted. They left the economy in one big question mark as to what's going on. Small businesses are no better. They have no better indication as to what's going on than they did in August, than they did in July. No wonder our economy is floundering. They put the panic button. They pushed the panic button on the spending of our federal government because they didn't do the 12 appropriations bills all summer long. And then all of a sudden there was just this panic amongst Congress. Oh, no. We haven't done the appropriations process. We need to cobble that together. And you know what, Republicans in Congress? Take our number. That means take our spending number. I will say this. Thank goodness they didn't increase the spending. They kept it at the status quo. But what would have been so horrible if they created this problem because they didn't do any of the 12 appropriations bills, and when they cobbled together the continuing resolution, they said, you know what, we're going to extend spending levels, but we're cutting them back to 08. Oh my gosh, wouldn't have that been just unbelievable? Of course, it would have been unheard of because we're talking about Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. But that would have even maybe jump-started the economy. Maybe some of these small businesses would have said, well, maybe Congress is getting ready to hitch up its britches, take some tough votes. They've cut their own spending. The federal government spending got cut. They went back to 08 levels. They didn't just kick the can down the road and continue the spending on the status quo. Well, actually, they did. That scenario I just painted would have been a dream of dreams, but it didn't happen. Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi cobbled together the continuing resolution, and it continues funding on the existing levels through December 3rd. So what does that really do? Basically, it's a big fat punt the football till November 15th. But I tell you what is left on November 15th to do, and then the next session of the lame duck session will be on November 29th, is huge. It is huge, ladies and gentlemen. There is so much leftover legislative stuff. The first one is unemployment benefits. Remember, they've been cobbling that federal benefit together? Every time it comes close to expiring, they do one of the Rahm Emanuels, don't let a crisis go to waste. And they go to the Republicans and say, you have to extend it because it's going to expire in a day or 2 days. And they end up having to extend it. Well, guess what? That expires November 30th. So when they come back, they'll have 5 days to deal with that. They come back November 15th, and they plan to go out November 19th. And then be out the whole following week. That following week is Thanksgiving week. So they're going to come back in session and have the same MO, have the same modus operandi that they've been doing for the last 2 years. Create a crisis. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. They'll go to the Republicans and say, unemployment's about to expire. We have to extend it again. And if the Republicans balk at that, it'll be the big, bad, mean Republicans. Whatever happened to having actual debate on the floor about it? Whatever happened to having hearings, calling witnesses, finding out really what's going on with the unemployment, with the unemployed? Nope. That would be too responsible. That would be too logical. They would rather just Rahm Emanuel it, create the crisis, and force it down the Republicans' throat. So that's one of the things they've got to do. Another one is the doctor fix. That's huge. Doctors are supposed to be cut 21%, and they have had that cut postponed for 6 month intercals. For years now, that cut, that postponement in the cut, that expires November 30th. So that when a doctor sees maybe your mom or my mom, it costs them a dollar, they file for the reimbursement, the federal government will only give them 79 cents. So that cut has been postponed month after month after month. That one expires. So there's another crisis. There's another Rahm Emanuel crisis. That they will go to the Republicans and say, you have to extend this. Otherwise, doctors will get cut. We wouldn't want that. Remember, don't let a good crisis go to waste. There is much more that we'll talk about when we take a break here. Much more that's left for this lame duck session. It will start November 15th. It'll go till right the full week of November 15th. Then they're going to take a week off for Thanksgiving. And then they come back Monday after Thanksgiving, and they could be in for as long as up till Christmas. That's almost a month. That's a long time. When we come back in just a minute, we're going to talk about what is left for the House and the Senate to do in the lame duck session of Congress when they reconvene after you and I have decided whether they should come back and get their jobs back in January. So remember, you're listening to the Mike Siegel Show, CyberStation USA Radio Network. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
The weekly presidential radio address and our leaders, their voices, heard on demand at CyberStationUSA.com.
Capitol Hill Insights. Twice weekly on CyberStation USA. My name is Elizabeth Letchworth. GreatGov is a free website that lets you grade any member of Congress. We have 100 email accounts for all 100 senators and 435 for the 435 members of the House. So your voice does get heard. Capitol Hill Insights, brought to you by GradeGov.com, twice weekly on CyberStation USA. Thanks so much and enjoy the shows.
On the line with me is Bill Konigsberg, father of two, Geico auto insurance customer. Bill, you saved money with Geico, enough to put your kids through college?
Well, no.
But your kids will benefit, right?
I guess.
You heard it. Parents who love their children switch to Geico. If you'd like to see the light in a young child's eyes, not to mention possible savings of 15% or more, call 1-800-947-AUTO. 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico Direct, the sensible alternative.
Hi, I'm Eric, and I'm assistant manager at Walmart in Jacksonville, Florida. One time, a customer wanted a piece of merchandise that we no longer carry. Luckily, I was able to make a couple of calls and get her exactly what she wanted. Thing is, I went through those changes because she was a customer, not because she was my mother.
We'll always go the distance for you.
Friendly service, low price.
Always.
At Walmart.
His two front teeth are missing. His ears are practically aerodynamic. He wears capes made out of bath towels and snow boots in July. The world sees a funny-looking little kid. You see an angel. You'd give the world a glimpse of him through your eyes if you could. You give him chicken with no hormones and no steroids because you can. Tyson. We're chicken. Quality chicken. Tyson. It's what your family deserves.
Terrestrial radio is basically going to be supplanted by what's happening in technology, and even satellite is going to diminish. You're going to see in your automobiles internet receivers instead of radios. Our cell phones are going to become, I think, fundamentally our computers. And these changes, I don't even think the people who are the experts know where all the changes will be going. Think about the increased speed and ability. We're going to have a dramatic increase someplace down the road. When you get your internet receiver, that gives you the entire world. I'm going to continue to grow with this technology, 3 to 4 Eastern Time, noon to 1 Pacific Time, on CyberStationUSA.com. I follow what's happening. It's remarkable. I'm learning it. It's amazing. Most important, rely on people who know this field.
This is Mike Siegel at CyberStationUSA.com. You're listening to the future of radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the Mike Siegel Show and the final segment of the People's Advocate, Mike Siegel's CyberStation USA Radio Network show. My name is Elizabeth Letchworth. I'm sitting in for Mike. He is touring and traveling and making speeches. So we are talking about Congress and what they did to us or for us or not, didn't do right before they went out. They went out Wednesday of this past week, and they are out until after the elections, November 15th. When they come back, they will be in what everybody knows now as a lame duck session of Congress. Only this one has two segments. Yikes! They come back November 15th, which is the week before Thanksgiving, and they'll be in for a week. And then they take off for Thanksgiving and come back November 29th. And then they could be in all the way through Christmas. Right before the last break, we were talking about what is the kind of stuff they want to take up during this lame duck session of Congress. Now, remember who these members of Congress are. You and I, between now and then, have gone to the polls. We've pulled the lever as to whether we want our guy or gal back in Congress, or do we want a new person? Did we kick the bum out? But the problem is, even if we did kick the current member of Congress out, we decided and we voted, we do not want you, he or she, to return to Washington to represent us. They do return to Washington and represent us until January. They keep their job until January. Typically, what happens after a November election is Congress is not in session. The guys and gals that get defeated, they get the moving van, they get the boxes, and they start packing up. That's not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen because this Congress did not do near what they needed to do to finish the job. They kicked the can down the road on so many major pieces of legislation because they didn't want to conduct the votes, because the members of Congress got too sideways with you and me. We got too angry at them, and they decided I can't have my constituents angry at me any more than they need to, so let's postpone the tough votes until after the elections. That way they won't be as angry at me. A lot of people go into the polls think that maneuver is enough to kick them out. It's spineless. It shows they have no responsibility. It shows that they are afraid and they can't stand up to responsibility. So the move to kick all of this stuff into a lame duck session may backfire all on its own. But we were talking about before the last break what's left to do in this lame duck session. And ladies and gentlemen, listeners, it is a ton. The unemployment benefits, the federal unemployment benefits, they expire November 30th in the middle of the lame duck session. They'll have to do that. The doctor fix, that's the 21% cut in reimbursement payments. That expires. So in other words, the cut would go into effect unless they extend it again. That expires November 30th. The debt commission, you remember that? That was something that President Obama created back in the spring. He appointed Erskine Bowles, who used to be Bill Clinton's chief of staff. He's a Democrat from North Carolina, ran for Congress actually twice in North Carolina, failed both times. So you know what? When you hear today that Rahm Emanuel is leaving the Obama administration because he's going to go run for mayor of Chicago, and he's probably going to be a shoo-in because after all, he's been the chief of staff. You all need to remember Erskine Bowles was the chief of staff to Bill Clinton. Erskine Bowles was a pretty decent human being. Not like Rahm Emanuel, who rules with an iron fist. Bill Clinton was a more popular president at that point than Barack Obama is. And Erskine Bowles did not win. He ran for Congress in North Carolina twice and lost both times. So when people say Rahm Emanuel is going to leave and go run for the mayor, and he's a shoo-in because after all he's been a chief of staff, that is not a given. That is not a given, and please do not take the Chicago voters' vote for granted. But anyway, the debt commission is headed by Erskine Bowles and by a former Senator Alan Simpson. He was a Republican from Wyoming. So that debt commission, it reports December 1 to Congress. And Speaker Pelosi said she wants to have a vote on the recommendations. The DREAM Act, do you remember that? That's that immigration status bill. That's the one that allows children of illegal immigrants that were brought here by their parents before the age of 15. They were brought here, they lived here, they went to school here, they grew up here for a lot of cases, but they can't go to school because they're illegal. This allows them to go to college, gives them, in some cases, state in-state tuition levels, even if they didn't live in-state. You know, American children, a lot of them don't get that. If I tried to go to college in New York and I live in Florida, they're not going to give me in-state tuition. If I were illegal, they would. If I were the child of an illegal, they would. That's what the DREAM Act does. And you know what else it does? If you go to college or serve 2 years in the military, then you get a six-year path to a residency. It's a newly created sort of residency slot that the DREAM Act creates so that kids of illegals, the argument is, of course, they had nothing to do with being dragged here, brought here by their illegal parents, after all, they were children, should have a path to legal citizenship. The path may be something to consider, but not traipsing over those already in line and not traipsing over American citizens that played by the rules and did everything right. They shouldn't be able to step over top of them. So the Dream Act is something they want to do. Tax extenders, more of these tax provisions expire. These are some of the most popular provisions. How many of you all have teachers in your family? I know I've got lots of teachers in my family. I'm so proud of them. Teachers in Virginia, Texas, Ohio, Florida. You know, teachers spend a lot of out-of-pocket expenses on supplies. And in the tax code right now, which is going to expire, it expires at the end of the year, teachers are allowed to apply for a reimbursement on their tax forms and get that money back. Well, is Congress going to let that expire? How about the child tax credit? The Bush administration doubled it. Used to be $500 for every child. He doubled it to $1,000. That doubling will expire. You know what? If you think about it, you're a family of four. You got two kids. One of you maybe is a teacher. Maybe you spend $100 a month on school supplies. That's $1,200 a year that you might be able to get back on your taxes if these tax extenders are passed. Your two children, instead of $500 tax credit, you get $1,000. That's another $1,000 on your taxes that you get back. Just those two provisions alone. And there's lots more of these provisions, but just those two provisions alone. Again, you're a family of four, and one of you is a teacher. And one of you spends roughly $100 a month on out-of-pocket expenses for school supplies that you could get back on your taxes. We just did two of these extenders. Simplest math, that was $2,200. Do the math. That's $200 a month that you would now have to pay more than you did before. That's a car payment. That's a car payment on a second car. Or that's your electric bill that now you're going to have to pay more. That $200 a month, you're going to have to pay more for no reason. You didn't do anything different. Nothing changed in your life. What did change? Congress decided they weren't going to extend these tax extenders. That's one thing they have to do in the lame duck session. And that's one thing they probably should do. Again, in an economy as rocky as this, which would you choose? Higher taxes or hire me? Think about it. Higher taxes or hire my husband or hire my wife or hire my son, hire my daughter, my brother, my sister. I think we would pick the hiring of one of our loved ones instead of higher taxes. So tax extenders is something they need to do during this lame duck session. They also should and need to do something on the Bush tax cuts. We talked about that in the last segment. Do they extend them for everybody? Do they extend them just for the middle class? Do they let the upper income tax breaks expire? Therefore, they would get a tax increase. Again, we go back to higher taxes or higher Americans. We would all pick higher Americans, I would have to guess. So I'm going to wrap up Mike Siegel's show for the day. I really appreciate you listening to what is in effect Capitol Hill Insights. And you can listen to that on CyberStation USA Radio Network Mondays and Fridays at 7 p.m. Mike will be back next week. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope you've been a little more educated as to what Congress has done for you or to you, especially this past week when they did so little but had the opportunity to really do so much. If they had just considered potentially doing some of these tax bills, maybe the economy for the next month or two might have actually gotten a little B12. They chose not to. So unfortunately, I'm thinking the economy will stay as it is, floundering, and that is a shame. But you can let your voice be heard, and you know how. Coming up in November are the elections. November 2, don't forget to vote. Don't forget to bring a neighbor to vote. Don't forget to remind your friends and family to vote. Democracy is not a spectator sport, ladies and gentlemen. We all need to participate. Speaking of participating, I hope everybody has a wonderful, safe, and blessed weekend. I appreciate you listening to Mike's show, Member of the People's Advocate. And I'm Elizabeth Letchworth. And stay tuned.